Hello, it's Doug Brown here joining Brendan Stone on Unusual Sources on CFMU McMaster Radio 93.3 FM. Well, we've got a really good show today. Later on, Brendan's got a special guest for a live interview, but we're going to begin the show with Tyler Levitin, who's with he's the coordinator with Independent Jewish Voices. And Tyler and his organization have arranged to bring distinguished author and journalist Max Blumenthal to Hamilton next week as part of a Central Canadian tour. So I think we've got Tyler on the line right now, and we'll get some more information. Tyler, are you there?
I am, yes.
Oh, super. Well, good to have you back on the show, Tyler. And let's start right off with the tour. Can you tell us, maybe first for listeners that aren't that familiar with Max Blumenthal, a little bit about Max?
Sure. So Max is an American journalist. He's in his mid-30s, but he's quite a prolific writer in his young age. He came out with a New York Times best-selling book, which is called Republican Gomorrah, Inside the Movement That Shattered the Party. And recently, just in the last year, he's come out with a second book, which focuses on Israel's increasing shift towards fascist policies, the increasing apartheid system within the West Bank, and certainly the very, very quickly increasing racism and incitement to violence and hatred of Palestinian citizens of Israel, literally living within Israel's pre-1967 borders. So he actually was, you know, covering lots of activity in Israel and Palestine for a number of years leading up to publishing this book. So he's a very hands-on journalist, and I think he's garnered a lot of respect and praise for really getting lots of raw footage through his filming stuff, but also just in terms of his interview style, he really gets a lot out of his interviewers. So this book is has been critically acclaimed and has actually attracted tons of attention in the United States because it happens to be such a controversial book because of the mainstream media being so Zionist in the States, much like it is here. But because he's an American journalist, it has gotten a lot of attention there. So I think he's going to be a great person to bring to Hamilton, and he's also coming to Toronto and Ottawa because he's going to help bring this discussion to the next level in Canada like he has been successful at doing in the United States.
Well, it's great that your organization has is bringing him up to Canada, and we're really looking forward to hearing him on Wednesday, May 21st. The Hamilton event is going to be right downtown near the bus terminal, the McNabb bus terminal, at Centenary United Church, 24 Main Street West. And the church doors will open at 7, and the talk, I think it begins at 7:30. So I encourage people to come out and listen. And I was just online reading a number of Max's blogs and articles. Really exceptionally acute writer. I guess it may be, hopefully it's maybe a new generation of, in the Jewish diaspora and within Israel itself, you know, more conscious of the harsh conditions. And also, where is Israel going to go in the future if they keep up these hard policies?
Certainly, yeah. I think that it's very timely because the fact that Israel, you know, really is becoming increasingly racist and very openly so and unashamedly so. So it's very important to have somebody who's got this the kind of journalistic skills that Max has, who had already come out with this best-selling New York Times best-selling book about internal politics in the United States. actually focus on what's going on in Israel. And I think it came out of the fact that he's Jewish, that he's he lives in the diaspora in the United States, and he's connected to the issue by virtue of the fact that Israel claims to be representing him and speaking on his behalf, which is how I got interested in the issue myself, because much like Max, I was raised in a very Zionist, pro-Israel environment. So when I was, you know, inevitably, if you're interested in a political issue, you, you're confronted with things that challenge the way that you've been raised. Much like the situation with Israel-Palestine, there was lots of myths that we were brought up to believe. And most people in the diaspora Jewish community still believe these kind of founding myths of the State of Israel, that you know, Israel was defending itself when it came to declare its independence and was attacked by all these Arab states and was very much the David, when in fact it was the Goliath, and continues to be the Goliath. And Israel has always been significantly the strongest party in the region. And the basically the asymmetry in power between Palestinians and Israelis, or the Palestinian government, if you could even call it that, in the Israeli state, is so disproportionate that, I mean, it's nonsensical to talk about a peace process between two opposing parties. It's like talking about, you know, basically slaves in the U.S. South trying to negotiate with their owners. I mean, the power imbalance is that extreme. Palestinians in the West Bank are essentially enslaved to the Israeli occupation and have been since 1967. The refugees are out of the picture. Israel doesn't acknowledge the crimes committed against them and doesn't recognize their rights under international law. And the Palestinian citizens of Israel, as I said, they're increasingly being targeted by the Israeli state as an internal threat. They're called a demographic threat, a demographic time bomb, and there's constant incitement of racism and violence towards them. So this is just the reality that an increasing number of Jews living outside of Israel are going to have to deal with. And I think that Max is such an articulate and important voice that will help, I think, really help facilitate these discussions, these much-needed discussions amongst Jews outside of Israel, so that support for Israel will wane and Jews will use their privileged voice on this issue to speak out in support of equal rights and universal values of human rights and social justice.
And I found in his writings, too, you know, almost an optimism, you know, on a way out of this morass we're in right now, you know, of transforming Israel into or Israel-Palestine into a more open and inclusive state, you know, one that Palestinians and Jews and others who happen to either come to Israel or have been in Israel, you know, would feel at home with.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, his book is very bleak. There's no question that reading the book, you could definitely get a sense of how serious the problem is of racism within Israeli society, and you could certainly be pessimistic about the future. But I think ultimately, the whole point of it really is that it's exposing the reality so that the international community can act accordingly and bring about a situation of equal rights in Israel-Palestine through putting pressure on Israel to respect the rights of Palestinians. And a lot of Israelis aren't going to be happy when ultimately the situation comes to be, when Israel is fully exposed and it can't hide from its colonizing project any further, and pressure is mounted on Israel to the point where it will have to succumb to treating people with dignity and respect and equal rights. But, you know, much like in South Africa, the whites weren't embracing the fall of the apartheid regime. It was through external pressure that helped facilitate internal changes that ultimately led to the fall of the apartheid regime. And I think that's going to happen in Israel-Palestine. And what's so important about Max's work is that it will create, I think, a new current of optimism, of seeing that the status quo is unacceptable. The two-state solution based on Israel actually giving the Palestinians a viable state is way past the point of being a reality anymore due to the increase in Israeli colonization of the West Bank, that we've reached a point where the only alternative is really equal rights, to treat Palestinians with respect and dignity and grant them their rights. And I think that's a very positive message.
And, you know, looking at the parallel with South Africa and South African apartheid, the end of apartheid, I would find it hard to put an argument in favor of apartheid on that experience. You know, I think the end of apartheid was not just very good for the black majority, but it was also, I think, very good for the entire population, including the white, the ruling white minority at the time.
I agree with you fully, definitely. I mean, it's similarly the situation with Israelis that the liberation of the Palestinians will allow Israelis to be able to liberate themselves from being an occupying force in Palestine, historic Palestine. It will enable them to be able to feel better about themselves because they won't have to be in the reserves and serve in the army and continue to occupy other people, because it obviously is a very demoralizing experience for the occupier, in addition, of course, to the occupied. So it would definitely lead to certainly a liberation for all peoples once equal rights is realized, and will definitely change as well the way that Jews outside of Israel interact with the region and see their own identity, which is just inevitable. And I think it's something that is difficult for Jews outside of Israel to grapple with, because many Jews are their identity are very much connected to Zionism, to the state of Israel. Kind of Israel has become the new secular kind of religion for Judaism, because it's something tangible that Jews can relate to. If they don't actually practice the Jewish faith, then they could still identify as being Jewish and connect that identity to this idea of a Jewish state. And that doesn't mean that it will fully go away with the creation of equal rights in Israel-Palestine, but the identity will have to adapt to the situation of equal rights and justice, which I think it won't be very difficult, because ultimately Jewish values that stem from Jewish cultural tradition and the religion itself are very much in support of universal human rights, human dignity, treating your neighbors as if you would want to be treated. These are ideas that very much are found within the Jewish tradition. So that situation coming about in Israel-Palestine will only as well help to liberate Jews outside of the region.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. So just again for our listeners, next Wednesday, May 21st, 7 p.m., at Centenary United Church, 24 Main Street West, we'll have Max Blumenthal, his book tour, and he'll be talking about his book, his new book, Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. And so we encourage everybody to attend. I just mentioned, besides Independent Jewish Voices, This venue has a number of co-sponsors, including Canadians for Justice and Peace in the Middle East, Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War, International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network, McMaster Muslims for Peace and Justice, Palestinian Association of Hamilton, and Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights. So there's a lot of community support behind this event. And, you know, you can get tickets Tyler, online, how could a person get tickets?
So you can go to ijvcanada.org. And when you're on the main page, there's kind of this top menu that has, you know, home, about IJV, join IJV, yada, yada. One of them is events. So if you just click on events, it'll be listed there. And then you could just pay online through PayPal if you want to get the ticket in advance. Otherwise, you should be able to get a ticket at the door.
Right. So tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door. And locally in Hamilton, you can buy tickets at Brian Prince Bookseller at 1060 King Street West, or at the Button Pushers, 1198 Lock Street South. Anyways, yeah, we're really looking forward to next week's event. And while we've got you on the line, Tyler, IJV is doing a lot of good work beyond this particular book tour. Could you give us a bit of an update on what's going on, particularly with the BDS initiatives?
Sure. So one of our campaigns is a boycott of SodaStream that we've been working on with allied groups across the country as part of the Canadian Boycott Coalition for Justice in Palestine, Israel. So a campaign that we've been focusing on as of late has been to target the Canadian Tires across the country. Canadian Tire is one of many retailers that sells SodaStream. And just for your listeners who aren't aware, SodaStream is a do-it-yourself carbonated beverage device. And you could purchase it really at just about any retailer in the country. It's a big multinational company, but it's based out of Israel, and they have actually their main production facility on the West Bank, which is occupied Palestine. And they mislabel their products as made in Israel when, in fact, they're not. They're made in occupied territory on stolen land from the Palestinians, or the Palestinians were fairly recently ethnically cleansed from, and where they don't have access to the same rights as Jews living within that colony. So we are trying to put pressure on Canadian Tire to deshelve this product. And so we're putting pressure on them locally across the country. There are Canadian Tires in every city and just about any town across the country. So anyone could go to a Canadian Tire store and ask to speak to the manager and just inform managers across the country about SodaStream and how, you know, you feel very uncomfortable with the idea that they're selling this product, that it's mislabeled, that it helps entrench a situation of occupation and oppression in Palestine, and that you ask them to remove it. So in conjunction with that, we also have a kind of a national element to the campaign where we have a petition on change.org. It would be great, actually, Doug, if you guys can link to that on the podcast. And the petition is focusing on the national office in Toronto, because the national, I guess, supplier's chain is controlled from that office. So ultimately, we need to pressure them, as we're putting pressure locally, we need to pressure the national office to remove this product from the national supplier's list. So that's one of the campaigns we've been doing. And also, we found out recently that Starbucks is potentially going to purchase about a 10% stock in SodaStream. And this is coming off the on the heels of, you know, the huge controversy around Oxfam and Scarlett Johansson, how, you know, basically Scarlett Johansson cut her ties with Oxfam in favor of being a spokesperson with SodaStream. And this got a lot of negative press for SodaStream and Scarlett Johansson, since the celebrity chose her affiliation with an apartheid company over her affiliation with an organization that does important poverty reduction work around the world. So anyways, this is disturbing that we found out that Starbucks is interested in purchasing the stock. So we've been putting pressure on them as well through writing letters to them, urging them not to go ahead with this move. And if they do, then we'll have to take action at that point. But we're confident that they won't make such a ludicrous business move and such an unethical stance as well.
Yeah, and it's great. IJV, you know, has been very effective in the BDS campaign. In within Hamilton, I believe it's three different Canadian Tire stores have been picketed because of their sale of SodaStream products. So, I think the campaign is growing. And the other aspect we keep hearing about, and it was certainly a big event in McMaster, was you know, the campus movements to have to join the BDS campaign as a way of putting continued pressure on Israel.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, this is the most exciting part of the BDS movement, to see how there's, you know, dozens and dozens of campuses around the world who are, you know, whose student governments are almost unanimously supporting the Palestinian call for boycott, divestment, sanctions, and solidarity with their struggle. This has already happened in over 10 universities just in Ontario alone. So student unions are a great place, obviously, to educate you know, youth and the rest of the city's population as well about important social justice issues, and it's great to see how much support Palestine is getting in that area.
Yeah, it gives me a lot of hope seeing the younger generation, you know, coming out like this, especially on campus. Okay, well, just give the details of the event again. Max Blumenthal coming to Hamilton, May 21st, a week today, 7 o'clock, Centenary United Church at 24 Main Street West. $10 advance purchase of tickets, or $12 at the door. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us today, and we certainly are looking forward to this event next Wednesday.
Well, I'm glad I could be here. Thanks for inviting me. And, yeah, I highly encourage that folks go and check out Max and decide for yourself if his views are worthwhile, and I hope that it goes very well.
Okay, thank you. And that was Tyler Levitan. He's the coordinator of Independent Jewish Voices. He was talking to us from Ottawa, and we were promoting Max Blumenthal's tour of his book, Goliath, Life and Loathing in Greater Israel. So, Max Blumenthal will be in Hamilton next Wednesday, 7 o'clock, at Centenary United Church.